Hey y'all, welcome to the Nutrition Hangout. I am excited about today's podcast because I have Chef Adrian Martin on. He was on Bravo's show Below Deck, and he is incredibly creative when it comes to food. He answers questions about what he is doing now and how he comes up with the different dishes he makes for guests. And he also talks about what his time on the show was like. Hey Adrian, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to me today. I know you are crazy busy cooking right now.
I am. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I know some people will know this information about you because they've seen the show Below Deck. But for those who have not seen the show, will you talk a little bit about your background and how you got started with a career as a chef?
So yeah, as I said, I grew up in the Caribbean on the island of St. Martin, and my father was a yacht captain throughout my youth. And when I was about 8 or 9, he quits the yachting industry to open a barbecue restaurant on the island of St. Martin, and which I worked in all throughout my youth as well. So I guess yachting and cooking was really very present in my life, I guess, growing up.
Nice. So then you went to school to be a chef, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, I went to Paris for 4 years to do culinary studies.
Okay, and then did you immediately go and start working in restaurants, or what did you do after you went to school?
So already through the schooling process, I did an apprentissage. So during the 4 years, I would do 2 weeks school and 2 weeks work in diverse restaurants and hotels all over Paris. And then as soon as I got out, I moved to Holland a little bit to work in a 3-star Michelin. But got my ass kicked so hard. It was it was a nightmare, really. A lot of the chefs in those Michelin restaurants can be quite tough. And they have this this mindset where they see it as a military brigade and they have to yell at people to gain respect. And that's not how I work. I don't work well when people scream at me, basically. So I quit that pretty quickly and moved back to the Caribbean. I got offered a gig on a yacht pretty much as soon as I got back. And then just everything just rolled from there.
What is cooking on a yacht like? It looks so small. So how are you creative in a very small space?
Well, I guess my creativity doesn't really relate to the size of the space, I would say. And it's very dependent. I've worked on 240, 250 foot yachts that, you know, they have massive galleys, and I've worked on 70 foot yachts that have tiny ones. But it's just, I think, traveling all my youth and just going from place to place all my life has made me very adaptable. So you can pretty much put me in any setting and I'll whip out a fabulous dinner for you.
That's really cool. So now you're no longer in yachting, is that correct?
Back and forth. Yeah. I'm not a yacht chef. I'd say I'm a private chef. So I have clients that have yachts and they'll hire me on their yachts. And then they'll hire me in their houses. They'll hire me all over the place. So I wouldn't consider myself as 100% yacht based chef.
Okay. So how did you start your business cooking privately for people?
I just moved, it kind of went hand in hand with the yachting industry. Every charter I would do on yachts, I would become friends with the guest, and they would be like, oh, you know, could we hire you in our house? And I was like, yeah, for sure. And the yachting industry takes a lot out of you in the sense that when you're on the yacht, that's the only thing you have. Your whole life is the yacht. And I'm a very independent person. I like traveling. I like moving. I don't like being stuck somewhere. So it resonated more basically to be a private chef and to be able to kind of dictate my own terms while working. So, you know, people tell me, okay, can we book you all June? Well, no, June, I want to go on vacation. I mean, I'll never say that. I'll be like, oh no, I'm already booked, you know? it just gives me a lot more freedom to do it like that.
So, okay. Because I love this, by the way, that you have set up your life so that your job isn't controlling you. You're controlling what you want to do. And then you love cooking. So that works perfectly in your day. But what does a typical day look like for you?
So while I'm working or in my regular life?
Either, whichever one you want, or both, whichever one you want to talk about.
Well, I mean, in my regular life, the summers I usually spend in Oregon. I have a property in Southern Oregon that I'm developing. I'm creating a permaculture farm and creating like a farm to table eco retreat center.
Very cool.
So that's taking a lot of energy. So I spend usually from May to September, October there. And then in the winters, I go to the Caribbean to visit my family and just travel through Asia or South America.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I imagine it is fun. So, okay, so when you're cooking for people, do you have a favorite meal that you love to make, or do you come up with new things regularly?
No, I come up with new things every time. I never reproduce the same dish twice. I work with the preferences of the guests, and then I just go and see what's fresh at the supermarket. And looking at the ingredients, everything just starts making sense in my head. But there's so many factors relevant. So the heat of the day, I don't know, you know, just what came in fresh that day, or just how I'm feeling, and what vibe I got from the guest as well. And so sometimes I'll buy a bunch of produce, and I'm kind of had an idea of what I'm going to do, but it kind of all comes together when I'm cooking it. So I'll cook different things. I'm like, oh, this would go well with this. This would go well with this. And then I just put it all together.
That's fascinating. I can't imagine never recreating a recipe.
Well, I don't really use recipes, so that's right, the basis right. for it, is that I don't use measurements or anything like that. Everything's just kind of, oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It works.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I mean, yeah, I'm not obviously culinary trained, so everything's a recipe in my life. But man, that's... So then do you have like favorite ingredients you like to cook with? Like, do you love passion fruit for certain things, or do you have anything like that that you love to include in a dish? Or again, are you just going and looking at what's available?
I mean, to be honest, I find every ingredient incredible. I think there's just beauty in everything. So it's, I really try and focus on local produce wherever I go. And I love going to the supermarket and being like, what is this thing? And trying it out and cooking with it, you know? That's really where I thrive. It's just discovering new things. I couldn't say that I have anything in particular. I mean, I have little things, like instead of soy sauce, I use coconut amino acids, for example. Mm-hmm. I love using that. I use a lot of like maple syrup and a lot of things, just to balance out the flavors. I really like adding acidity and then a little sweetness just to really get that complexity of flavors. But no, it's so eclectic. So I cannot really, you know, it's hard to say. People always ask me, what's your favorite dish? I mean, it's just, I couldn't even say. When I'm eating out, I really enjoy Asian food. That's my number one go-to food, I'd say. Thai, Chinese, but like high-end Chinese, Cambodian, Indian food, stuff like that is really what I prefer versus Western food.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you if there's any style of food that you would never try and make, but I don't think you follow standard styles of food, correct?
Yeah, no, it's everything. And that's why people ask me like, what's your style? You know, it's me, it's freestyle. It's every day is a new thing. And that's what keeps it exciting. It'd be boring otherwise. And I need to be pushed like that. I need just to have a challenge in my life. And that's what makes it challenging. If it's always the same recipes, or if, you know, I have a book, then I'm like, okay, this, it gets boring for me.
Again, I'm still thinking about how do you not ever recreate the same recipe? Like, I can't imagine this because you don't have any of that. It's amazing.
Well, now it's come to the point where I have clients that'll say, okay, this, you need to write it down, because like they like it so much and they know that I'll forget it. You know, if they ask me like 6 months later, oh, can you make us that thing? I have no idea what I made. So if I have a request of a client that's like, that dish that you made for us, but even then, it'll never be exactly the same since I don't use recipes, you know, so...
That's really cool though. So what I love about your Instagram, when you take pictures of your food, everything looks really light. Like, I can imagine mm-hmm. eating that and not feeling like heavy and uncomfortable after a meal.
Oh no. Yeah. That's what I focus on. I mean, especially I'm usually working with 4, 5, 6 courses. And I want people to feel good. You know, it should be an experience of taste, not of gorging, you know, mm-hmm. just like, and that's well, something
wait,
that
say that louder for the Americans in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's something that we really need to focus on is appreciating things more, you know, and not just seeing food as feeding ourselves, you know, but it's something more. And especially when you're using organic produce, stuff like that, you don't need to eat as much because the nutritional value is much more dense. So, yeah. You know, if it's something more complex, then people tend to go slower and appreciate it. And I mean, I've always had a problem with eating fast in my life, so it works for me too. I'm always trying to focus. Okay, just take your time, appreciate it, feel it, you know, and use all your senses as well. Touch it. I really I love doing meals like with my friends and family, and just be like, okay, no silverware tonight. Everybody uses their hands, and everybody's looking at me like, No, but it's so nice to have that textural feeling as well. I mean, for me, food is it touches all the senses. You know, it's visual, it's sensory. I guess it's not auditory so much, but sure. It can be.
Yeah, that's funny.
I really like the textural aspect of it, and that's something I really incorporate in my dishes is the textural contrast. Mm-hmm. So just have a little crispy, a little crunchy. I'm sorry, I'm apparently underneath an airport.
You're fine.
Plane after plane.
No, you're fine. I love that you look at food as art and as an experience and not just nourishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's the way we should see everything. You know, everything has multiple facets to it. You know, mm-hmm. I've had so much beauty in my life come through food. I mean, the best memories in my life are in my childhood. You know, sitting around my grandmother's table with, you know, 15 of my aunts and uncles and cousins, and just spending 4 hours, you know, eating just delicious food. You know, so I want to reproduce that and bring that to people. It's fun. I love it.
So what has your time during the pandemic either taught you or made you pivot in a way in life? What has this time meant to you?
Well, it's actually been kind of interesting in the sense that I went to my farm in Southern Oregon early, was it March, I think it was? No, early April, and that's what I was kind of planning on doing anyways. And then I spent 3 months there alone, pretty much ostracized during that pandemic time, which was kind of my plan originally. So it didn't really affect me. And in Southern Oregon, we have some of the lowest cases in the nation as well. So, I mean, and I'm pretty autonomous as, I have my own water source, electricity, we grow our own food, everything. So I really didn't need to go into town. So, I mean, I would see a little bit about it on social media, but I feel like I've been kind of out of this whole thing, if that makes sense.
Wow, that's kind of a privilege.
Yes, it has, and I mean, I realize the how you know it's quite wild what's going on right now, and I definitely see the shifts when I'm going back into society. I mean, I did a gig all of July for some clients, and they got me a place for like 10 days and quarantined me, tested me multiple times, and then got their jet to fly me over just so I had no contact with people, you know, so that definitely is a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I'm open to doing what's necessary, you know, to make people feel safe, and then we're just going to ride it out and stay healthy. I think that's the only thing we can really do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, can I ask you some questions about Below Deck? I'm sure you get all these questions all of the time.
Oh, of course. No, it never gets old.
Well, that's good. Then I won't feel guilty about asking you. So I really wanted to know, what is it like cooking all day for people on a yacht?
So there's multiple facets of it. On Below Deck, for example, we would only keep guests for 3 days usually on, so you don't really have the time to get over them, so that's fine. When you're cooking for extended periods of time for people, sometimes you just like, you get so over it, and it's just like, they're like baby birds, you know, feed me, oh my God, just leave me alone. But Below Deck was very intense in the sense that it was a 55-meter yacht. On that size yacht, you have 12 crew, and we would accommodate up to 12 guests. And normally you have a sous chef to do that amount of work, to at least feed the crew. So I was alone, and I think they kind of did that on purpose to really get me to mess up, because I mean, just feeding that amount of people is just numbing, you know. I mean, I was doing 18, 19, 20 hours a day, easy, every day. And we had 3 days off during the whole season, which I didn't even take. I stayed on the boat to work. The producer's like, you can't stay. We have to film everything you do. I was like, well, forcefully remove me from the yacht. But if I work on my day off, I get one more hour of sleep for like the next 7 days. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm doing it, you know. But I was, at the end of the season, I was definitely a light shade of green, I think, from the lack of sleep. And just, yeah, it was a lot.
Would you ever do a show like that again?
I'm thinking about it. I mean, they call me back every season, pretty much. It just really hasn't worked out. Like last time, or two times ago, they called me. I was in Peru doing an ayahuasca retreat. I was like, oh my God, leave me alone. You know,
then especially when you're doing ayahuasca, you're like, this is why I'm doing ayahuasca.
I do not need this right now. You know, if I would have gone on, oh man, it would have been a nightmare. But then they called me back for the sailing one. And I was like, meh, you know, sailing. I mean, I love sailing. Don't get me wrong, but being stuck with those people on a sailing boat did not seem like the best situation. I mean, ideally for me, they would call me back like mid-season, you know, when somebody's messing up, and I would come just for 3 weeks or 2 weeks and save the day. And that'd be really fun, I think. A whole 6 week stint, I don't know if I would do, to be honest, because that's it's a bit much psychologically, physically. You know, you come out of there and you're just a wreck. So
I was thinking, how authentic is the show? But if you're even going, you're wearing me out, I have to work behind the scenes, I feel like it's relatively authentic. Or what is your opinion on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, nothing scripted. You know, the only thing they'll do is they'll see kind of opportunities or see kind of little things, and they'll exacerbate them. So like there's like a minor situation, and then they'll just make it a big thing, you know, and then they'll just like push it. And the only time they'll ask us to do anything is when we're just sitting around and not really talking, or everybody's on their phone in the crew mess or something, and they're like, hey, how about you guys talk about this, you know? Like, but that's something that we would probably talk about anyways, you know, but they just like, and we don't have to do it. If we don't, sometimes I'm just like, leave me alone, please, right now. Like, I need my me time, you know, and you know, at the end of the day, they can't force you to do anything. And then the way it's kind of, how would I say it? The way they kind of manipulate it is through the interviews. So they'll do every time we drop off guests, the day after is a day of reprovisioning, stuff like that. And we're doing interviews at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so the interviews, they'll spin it the way they want it. So they'll ask us these questions and try and get us to answer the way they want us to answer. And if we don't, then they'll ask us again the week after and the week after. And then if we still don't answer, then they'll bring us back 3 months later to do it again and still ask us. And if we still don't answer the way they want to, then they can literally piece by piece take parts of our words and put them together. So when you see like comments of people and you don't see their faces actually saying the things, like half the time it's usually just pieced up.
I mean, so I like the show, but I really liked when you were the chef, because I felt like you didn't bring any drama. You refused to bring drama. It just was not part of your life. And so what is it like when you see people, and I don't even know if you watch the show, but see people talking about you after you had just worked with them like a couple of hours ago?
You know, I just brush it off. It doesn't really faze me much. At the beginning, it was a lot of ego work, but I found it was great. It really did a lot for me. You know, even the hurtful things and everything, it forced me to look at aspects of my personality that I hadn't considered before as well. And just seeing how everybody perceives you. And then at the end of the day, realizing that the only thing that matters is the way you perceive yourself. So just really tuning into that very deeply and just being like, I'm proud of who I am, and I have nothing to be ashamed about or anything, you know, and nobody's perfect. You know, I make mistakes like everybody else. As long as we can own up to it, that's all I think we can do.
Yeah, it's a really healthy way to look at it. I imagine you probably have no idea if there's an internet troll ever talking about you. So,
oh, I mean, it's constant, you know, and the things that I saw, they've kind of forced me to go on to do a Twitter thing, and I almost regret that because I mean, on Twitter, people are completely crazy. It's just, I can't even fathom how people imagine these things to say to other people. You know, they must be really in dark places to want to put their frustrations like that on other people. But you know, it's life, and I've had so much more positivity come out of it than darkness. I mean, just the people I've met through that has just been phenomenal. I've really met lifelong friends, people I consider family and clients. And I mean, I have people contacting me from all over the world. Like, if you're ever here, you have a place to stay. No. You know, it's just so sweet. And a lot of inspiration on both ends.
Oh, that's so nice. Are you in contact with anyone from the show still?
Yeah, I talk to Ross quite frequently, Ashton as well, and that's about it. I mean, I'm cool with Chandler's a sweet guy. I'm cool with Kate. I mean, she's what she is, you know. And you know, I don't think I have much to say about that. You know, she's just doing her thing, so it's I respect that as well. But it's I'm cool with everybody. Captain Lee was a sweetheart. I really had a great time with him. He's a great person to work with as well. That's about it.
Do you watch any of the shows now, or do you just kind of leave that behind?
No, I don't. I actually don't watch TV. I don't even own a television, so.
I love that you were on a reality TV show and you do not own a television.
I mean, honestly, they came to get me. So I had heard about this show because in the Caribbean, it's kind of, we see the yachts and we see the cameras and stuff like that. But I mean, I had never watched it and I had heard very vague things about it. But I'm somebody to kind of jump on opportunities when they come to me and they just contacted me. They're like, hey, would you be interested in doing this? I'm like, yeah, why not? Let's do it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if you had watched, you would probably realize that the chefs are lacking since you've been on the show. So
it's probably why they're calling you back every season.
Yeah, you saying you would come save the day, like the viewers would be like, for the love of God, come save the day.
You know, I'm non-attached to it. If it happens, it'll have to be perfect conditions. And you know, I have faith that everything's just going to happen exactly the way it's supposed to. So if I do go back onto it, I'd be really happy to. And if I don't, I'll be very happy as well. Only fate can tell that, you know, it's we'll see how the cookie crumbles.
Well, I know you're super busy, but would you have time for some rapid fire questions?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and obviously there's no wrong answer. It's just whatever your opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sweet or salty?
Mix.
Mix, okay. What was the last thing you cooked?
Let's see. Thursday, what did I cook? Oh, that's a tough one. I'm telling you, I cook it and it exits my head so quickly. I made some homemade crispy ravioli with like I made a red pepper dough, charred and ricotta inside of it, sweet tomato coulis, smoked pork shoulder crisp, micro sprouts, a little truffle oil on top. I think that was one of the courses. And then what did I make? It's hard, sincerely. It's just, like I said, it just comes in and comes out so quickly.
Wait, but that sounds so good.
Like for the ravioli, you see, it's like something that you eat, it's pretty basic, you know, already when you make it homemade, it's a lot nicer, but I like to give people different views of it, like doing a crispy ravioli, you know, so like searing it in coconut oil and getting that nice crunch to it is something that people don't really experience often. So just like putting different twists on things.
Yeah, no, I think it's amazing. What is your least favorite food?
Tripe, probably, I'd say.
Okay. What is your favorite country to visit?
Asia. I mean, it's not a country.
Just a continent. Okay. I'll take a continent. That's fine. Well, then, what continent or country has the best food, in your opinion?
Asia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's so complex and it's so ancient. You know, they've been doing this for thousands of years. You know, it's just they got it on point.
Yeah. In your opinion, are oysters vegan?
No.
Is there a person you would love to cook for, but you have not yet?
Snoop Dogg.
Okay. East Coast or West Coast?
West Coast all day, baby.
Coffee or matcha?
Matcha.
Do you have a guilty pleasure? That's obviously not television.
What is it? Chocolate, I guess. It's probably
that's a good one. And then has there been one big difference after you've been on a reality TV show in your life?
Yeah, just everybody just coming to me. Are you Chef Adrian? Are you Chef? Yes, that's me. But now it's funny. Like now it's kind of been a while. So it's like, were you on Survivor? Or, you know, it's kind of mixing. People are mixing the reality shows together. So nobody knows. People know they saw me on television, but they're not quite sure on what they saw me. So it's kind of funny.
Do you ever just say like, yes, I was on Survivor?
Well, my ex-partner. That's what she used to say. She's like, actually, Survivor is kind of a step up from Below Deck. So you should just say yes.
That's hilarious. Well, thank you so much for coming on. If people want to find you and check out some of the culinary creations you have, would you recommend that they check you out on Instagram?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, I do road trips. I'm in the middle of one right now, two times a year. So I'll do one road trip on the East Coast and one road trip on the West Coast. And I'll just do the whole coast. And I do dinners all along the coast. So if people are welcome to hire me as well, and they can find that info on Instagram.
Okay, perfect. And your Instagram is Chef Adrian Martin for those that want to check you out.
That's it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on my podcast.
My pleasure. It was so fun.